Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You have come among us many years ago in bodily presence in Jesus so that we might be forgiven. Now may Your Spirit once again speak to us and renew us, direct us, and bring us close to You that we might truly worship You this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning I want to read a couple of passages to you. The first one from Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 through 27, and then from chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Matthew chapter 17, beginning with verse 24. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" And he said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "The sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you." Matthew 22, beginning with verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle Him in His talk. And they sent to Him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that You are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do You care about anyone, for You do not regard the person of men. Tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test Me, you hypocrites? Show Me the tax money." And they brought Him a denarius. And He said to them, "Whose image and inscription is on it?" They said to Him, "Caesar's." And He said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they had heard these words, they marveled and left Him and went their way. Verse 21 once again. And He said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Let's pray. Father, may we give to You here today and in our life that's before us the things that belong to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I read that passage of Scripture, "Give to God the things that are God's," I couldn't help but start thinking then, you know, what kind of things are there? What is it that belongs to God? Jesus says that. He says that to the Pharisees who are about to trap Him, trying to entangle Him. He says, just give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and the things to God that belong to Him. Well, we've taken that over years to mean give us authority and the freedom to pay our taxes without having to revolt against our government, or to being obedient to our government and follow their laws, follow the laws that the government established, and rightly so. But I think there's much more to that passage than just rendering to the government or to the world the things that we have to do to live and get by. But when Jesus says, "Give those things to God which are God's," it's kind of ironic, it seems, that Jesus is having to tell us to give to God what already belongs to God. What kind of things are there in our life that we hold on to so tight that we refuse, or that we struggle with giving them over to God? Well, of course, this is a tithing sermon, if you haven't figured that out yet, or not a tithing sermon, but a stewardship sermon. Tithing is just one small part of the whole idea of stewardship. And I preached a whole series of sermons several years ago on stewardship, that I'm not going to repeat here today. I'm not going to go back through all that. Much of you, I see a sigh of relief in that fact that I'm not going to do that again. But stewardship is an important part of our commitment as Christians. Not just a commitment to Francis Asbury United Methodist Church, not just to the Methodist Church, but to God. And folks, stewardship means that we don't own, we are only have possession of it for a short period of time so that we can administer it and use it in the right places. Stewardship does not mean ownership. We do not own. God is the owner. We only need to put it in the right places, to give it freely and generously. Now, there are, when I hear those that phrase, things that are God, give to God the things that are God's, it means to me that you have to think about it. That when I hear that, give it to God, there's things that I need to think about. I need to be intentional about. Two things in particular that we hold on to that belong to God. And I think that if everything else will fall under these, if we do our best to give these to God. The first of all is our obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. Most of you probably have heard this quite a few times. And so Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering as sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So what Samuel is saying there, and what the teachings of Christ tell us, that God is not after robots that perform specific tasks at specific times in a specific way and in a specific amount. What God is after are people who are willing to hear His voice, listen to His call, and be led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that may mean doing much more than 10% of your finances or 10% of your time or of your talent or of the truth. And if any of you remember that sermon series, those were the four things: time, talent, truth, and treasure. All of those things fall under our stewardship. God has given us those things so that we might be good stewards with them and share them at the appropriate time. Being obedient means listening to God's voice, thinking about what needs there are around us. If you didn't this week think about, or last week whenever, think about, you know, ABCCM needs food. Hominy Valley ABCCM, the people that live right here in our community, right around us, there are people that need food. If you didn't think about that, then you probably didn't pick anything up at the grocery store. It's something that has to be. It's obedience. Obedience to what God has called us to do. And folks, there's not one of us in here that can't afford a can of food every month or something. I know there's a bunch of stuff back there. How much would there be if everybody in every church gave one thing a week or one thing a month? We wouldn't be needing and having to plead for anything, would we? The shelves in those food pantries would be overflowing, and they would be able to meet every need that came their way. We have to think about what we are going to do and being obedient. It's not something that just automatically happens. We have to make that choice to be obedient. When we were children, our parents told us what to do. It wasn't for me. I don't know about the rest of you. The natural thing just to do what they said to do. Because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to go my way. I wanted to do the things that seemed the most fun and the most exciting and the most popular among the people that I associated with. But to make the right choice and to give the honor and the obedience that's due them, I had to make a choice sometimes. Didn't always make the right one. I don't always make the right choice today. But it's something that has to be thought about. It's not just blind automatic motions. It's something that's thought out and a choice made. Samuel said obedience is much better than just going to the altar and making a sacrifice. Obedience to God's call in your life is much better than just writing a check once a week or once a month and putting it in the collection plate. Obedience is what God is after. He doesn't need your money, folks. He desires, craves, wants your obedience. But He wants you to be obedient to His call in your life. The second thing that we have that God desires, the second thing that is God's already, is our heart. Proverbs 27:19 says this, "As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man." Listen to that again. "As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man." Folks, where our heart is, Jesus said it even better, there will our treasure be. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Remember, I talked about that fact that it wasn't heart and then treasure, but you put your treasure in the right place and your heart's going to be there. Folks, our heart, that which is most important to us, those things in life that are most precious to us, those things that occupy most of our time, are the things where our heart will be, the treasures of our life. Giving God the things that are God's has to be the response in today's world where the stock market swings 1,000 points in one day, where gas and oil prices go up and down like they're on a yo-yo, where the market in general is down by, what, a third this year maybe? In a world such as this, we have to be anchored to something that is more than the economy in which we rely upon to put food on our table to provide for our retirements. We have to be anchored upon the only certain thing. Our heart must be invested in the one place that the stock market can't affect, that the economy or inflation can't touch. And that one place is in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of the world, our Lord and Savior. We can't depend on the stock market. You know, I got a statement a couple weeks ago, and I hate to even think about it after the last couple weeks, but on my retirement account through the United Methodist Church, $15,000 it had gone down in that quarter. That don't make me feel very good. It's frightening. And I bet you if you all were to share the same thing about your retirement accounts, the same story, because all of our retirement accounts basically are tied up in mutual funds, stock market, all of those things. And boy, they can go down in a hurry. We can lose so much of what we've put back. But folks, that's even more of the reason to invest long term. That's what they tell you in the stock market. Invest long term. If you go in long term, you'll be fine. The stock market's up and down, but in the end, it'll always be a gain. Well, folks, we are investing long term as believers in Christ, and the reward is eternity. We need to put our investment with God, with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We have to do those things because it affects us all. I want to read a letter to you here that I got. Actually, I got it this morning. It was kind of strange. You know that I was out of town a couple of days and came back and checked my email. I didn't even look at my email while I was gone. And I got this from the conference office. It's a letter from the bishop and the district superintendents. I'll just read it to you. It's worth hearing. "To our United Methodist family in the Western North Carolina Conference, during our cabinet meeting this week, we, your bishop and superintendents, have been in prayerful conversation about the current economic crisis facing our world. Through the ages, the Church of Jesus Christ has stood firm and prevailed during many dark days and turbulent times. It is that assurance that will enable us to stand firm now as we face a faltering economy and a prevailing sense of insecurity. We know that our churches are not exempt from the fallout of this economic decline, and we acknowledge the struggle that many are facing. This is certainly a time that calls for a deep faith and for intercessory prayer as we hold one another before the throne of grace. We are greatly encouraged to hear stories of our churches that are serving as anchors of hope, support, and faith in a stressful, uncertain time. The number of people who need help inside and beyond our membership is rising, and opportunities for mission are growing at our doorsteps each day. We are inspired as we hear of prayer services for those who lose jobs, of bold new commitments to support group soup kitchens, food banks, and shelters, of community outreach to assist the most vulnerable, and of continued faithfulness in commitments to financial support for the mission of the church. We give thanks that the church stands to remind all of us the true source of peace of mind, the peace of Christ that does not depend upon the ups and downs of the financial market. We pray that Christ's compassion as well as Christ's peace will continue to characterize our witness in the community and to the world. Wise words, I think. Words that we can hold on to and anchor in the midst of turbulent times. It's that time of year in which we are working on budgets. Soon be completing the church's budget. It's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $150,000, Bob. Is that about right? It looks like $150,000 for this church. And that doesn't include for the pledges that have been made for the new building. In the past, the past 4 years, I think, we've not done pledge drives like so many churches do. It's just, we found out here that we do a pledge drive and we have $10 pledged, but $20 is given. So, it doesn't really make sense and it's not any benefit in making a budget. We're not doing a pledge drive this year for the church budget. I'm challenging you to do as God has blessed you. Not anything above and beyond, but just as God has blessed you. And what I'm going to do today, and this is me doing this. It's not the finance committee doing this part right here or anything. I hadn't even talked to them about it. But we're not doing a pledge drive and where you make that pledge. But I've got Robert and Alan have got some envelopes and they have some cards, just church note cards. As you go out, I want you to take one. And in that, on that card, next week, and this is for you folks that go to church here or regular members or whatever. If you're a visitor here, I'm not asking you to make a pledge to Francis Asbury United Methodist Church this morning. Don't get me wrong. But those of you that are our folks here that support the church financially week in and week out, I'm asking you to do this. If you would take that and on that card write your pledge to the church for this year. Doesn't have to be just money. You know, it can be what you pledge to do in volunteering, in time, and in attendance even. Make that pledge, write it on that card, put it in the envelope, seal the envelope, write your name and your address on the envelope, turn it back in to us, drop it in the collection plate next week, drop it at the office, however you want to do it. And then in July, halfway through the year, I'm going to send those back out to you and let you look at your pledge and have a means by which you can evaluate what you've done over this year and how God has blessed you. And see how that works. I just think it'd be interesting to do that. Also, this is something we talked about at Administrative Council, and we want to issue this as an invitation to people here in the church. Our building is getting close to being done. We've already talked about that this morning. That building has been a blessing financially. We have been blessed with that tremendously. Most of you know that story, and I'm not going to go through everything there. But the truth is that we have the money that we could pay for that and not take up one more penny for it. But I feel God's leading in this situation, and His desire for us is not to rely on a large monetary donation from an estate to solely pay for that, but that God would desire us to make an attempt to do something to invest ourselves in what's important in that church. We did that last year with a pledge drive. Over $100,000 was pledged over 3 years. $105,000, $106,000, Daniel, over a 3-year period of time. In the last year, since we've started that, close to half of it's been collected already. Is that right? Close to half of it. So people are ahead in their giving overall. Bless you for your faithfulness and response to that. Thank you. But for those that are new to the church, those that haven't had the opportunity to make that pledge or commitment, or those that just hadn't committed for whatever reason, I invite you to do that. I don't know who you are. I don't know who's pledged and who hasn't, how much anyone's pledged or hasn't. But this is another opportunity. This is an opportunity to be in ministry, in service. I think that money that we've had to use, that we will be using to finish paying off for that building, is a gift from God that we can do ministry in that building. That's the way I feel God leading me. That's what I feel God having put on my heart. So y'all can stone me for telling you how I feel God leading if you desire. But that's what I'm here for. Come whatever may, I feel God's leading and impression upon that. Now, there are pledge cards, the same cards that we used last year. Alan and Robert are going to have those as well. If you haven't pledged and would like to, those are available. There's also some just sitting out on the table in the narthex. You can pick one up. Turn it back in over in the next couple of weeks. Put it in the collection plate. Drop it by the office. Folks, we have been blessed financially. I said it 2 years ago when I preached that sermon series on it, that there was a reason that I could do this and I could do it boldly. It's because there is no financial crisis here in our midst right now. Same is true today. We are up to date on things. We are paying our bills and then some. God is blessing this place, but He's blessing it for a reason, and we can't let up, folks, and be satisfied with where we are. We have to be in mission and in ministry with this community in which we live and in the world in which we live. Folks, we can't resort to a theology of scarcity. And that just means that I go to this point and I go back into my little cocoon and I batten down the hatches and say, the storm is approaching, folks. I can't do it anymore. I can't give to church anymore because the economy is going bad. Well, folks, if ever you wanted to make an investment in your future and in trusting God, then this is the time to not be afraid of what God has given you, of holding on to it, but be generous with it. Trust God. You cannot outgive God. It's a proven fact. Don't just give out of what's left over. Give out of what has blessed you with from the very start. Obedience. That's what God desires. That's one of the things that belong to God and our heart. That's what He desires. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also, Jesus said. The things that belong to God. What are you holding on to today? What are you so reluctant? What is it that you're most reluctant about turning loose? Be a good steward and give to God the things that are His. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the abundance of wealth that there is right here in our midst. And I say that, Lord, with all boldness, because we are so blessed financially, with friends, with family, and with Your great love for us, Father, that's shown through Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be good stewards of all this, and may we be generous. May we open ourselves and trust You, Lord, and not the world. May we be free and open with all that You have blessed us. Lord, thank You for this day, for one another, and the love that's shared. May we show Your love to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.